We are working through this whole process of engaging God on a journey where we're going on two pathways, responsibility, which will come out of relationship, and that is really so we can discover who we are, our identity in God, engaging the heavenly realms in us and around us and in heaven itself, so that we can fulfill God's purpose for us as sons, because we're all called to be his sons, his children, and therefore we have an eternal destiny that he wants us to discover. We're looking at this module, which is module three, first love, one of the most important modules, really. And we looked at the inner house of God, first love itself, and now we're looking at the river of life, which is engaging with the person of God. So we looked at living water last week, drinking living water as a symbol of salvation and the flow of life that comes out of heaven. And today we're going to look at engaging the rivers. Revelation 22, 1 and 2. He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, in other words, all the time. And the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. And this symbolism, you'll find, flows right throughout the Bible. And it's important to get hold of it, because it's expressing something of where our source comes from and how we engage it. So Psalm 1, 2, he meditates day and night, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season, its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. So if we draw from the life which comes from the source, which is God himself, then there is a promise for blessing, fruitfulness, prosperity, in other words, succeeding in that which we're called to do. Psalm 46, 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. So the church is seen as the city of God. There is a city of God that's in heaven. Our lives is also a dwelling for God, a city of God, if you like. The holy dwelling places of the Most High. We know that that's in us. God is in the midst of her. So God is in the midst of the church. God is in the midst of our lives. God is in the midst of his purposes, and he wants us to engage in that river. John 4:13. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. So there is another source that we can drink, which we will continue to thirst, but if we drink from the source that comes from God, we will never thirst for those things again. But the water I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. And the reality is there's no flow of water unless you drink. So you have to drink initially. And if you don't drink initially to get that living water on the inside of you, then you'll be continually looking for the wrong source. Jeremiah 2:13, God describes this wrong source. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, and hold no water. So everything we're looking for from the world around us that can never meet our needs is described as a tank or a bucket with a hole in it. So it's always empty. And no matter if you try and fill your life with it, it will always end up empty. But if we come to the fountain of living water, to God himself, then it's always flowing and there's always a supply. So the question is, what is the source of our life? Where are we drawing from? Isaiah 12:2 describes where we should draw. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. If God isn't your salvation, you have very little to trust in and you will be afraid. That is the reality. Fear will be something that's expressed in our lives if we do not have the love of God, perfect love, which casts out fear. For the Lord God is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. This isn't a one-off event. This is an ongoing relationship where we draw from the life that comes from God, and it's described as drawing water from springs or wells. So first love is about an up-close, personal, relational encounter with God himself, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, with the Father, to get to know them intimately and personally, to know their frequencies, fragrances, characters, personalities, because they are real expressions of who God is, and he wants us to encounter them in our personal experience. God himself equates himself with rivers. So when we're engaging God, as we just read in Jeremiah 2:13, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. So he equates himself as a river, as a fountain, as a source. So God the Father is the river and can be encountered as we engage him in that river, figuratively and spiritually. We can engage that river and encounter the Father. Zechariah 3:13:1, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David. Now we know the house of David is talking about the church. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So what it does, cleanses us, washes us clean, gives us a new life. So God the Son, Jesus, is the river, the fountain of salvation, and he can be encountered in that river as we experience it. And we've read this scripture many times. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit. So God the Spirit is the river, and we can encounter him in the river. So when we're talking about this flow and this life, you can encounter God in so many different ways and experiences, but he expresses himself as a flow of life, as the river of life. Now, we're not talking, of course, about H2O. We're talking about a heavenly expression of the very life, the breath, the Spirit of God, who he is himself. So engaging the rivers, there are many different rivers, many different ways. The Bible expresses that as equating to different experiences with God. Different rivers equate to different experiences, purposes, and in our lives. So last week we saw there were baptisms into the Holy Spirit, Jesus and the Father, into the Holy Spirit, bringing righteousness, peace, and joy. Jesus, the way, truth, and the life. The Father, judgment, justice, and holiness. And it's like we become clothed with God, and therefore we're skinned with his armor, the armor of light, the armor of righteousness, and the armor of God. And it's a good place to be in him, baptized into him, having him surrounding us in the fullness of his protection and provision and blessing all around our lives. So these rivers can be described in many different ways, the river of grace and truth, river of mercy and love, river of power, river of transformation, renewal, refreshing. Many times the outpourings of the Holy Spirit, revival type experiences, are known for river experiences, and people have visions of rivers and they engage rivers because those rivers are being poured out from heaven. Now there are five expressions of the river that we are going to focus on today. And we've had these rivers flowing here for 4 or 5 years. They flow out of heaven as a waterfall. You can engage them. So there's the river of life, river of baptism or resurrection, river of the Spirit, river of fire, and river of glory. Ezekiel 47 is a description of the flow of the river coming out of the temple or coming out of the house of God. And there are many sermons and descriptions of this river and what this is really talking about, and that it describes many different things. But for us, we can see it as the river coming out of our own life, the river coming out of the church into the world. And verse 1 says, he brought me back, and this was a vision that God was given to Ezekiel, and he brought me back to the door of the house, and equate that to the first love gate. Behold, water was flowing from under the threshold. So even without opening the door, there is a trickle of that river that flows into our spirit. That's what brings us life. That's what causes us to be born again. But it needs to be more than that. Now, when we opened that door, the man went out with an east, with a line in his hand, and he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the waters, water reaching to the ankles. He measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching to the knees. He measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching to the loins. So there's a deepening of this river as it flows. Now, many people would equate that to the flow of salvation into history. So it started as a small trickle, then it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's engaged the world. People would equate it to, in other ways, water reaching the ankles. That was what happened in Jerusalem. Then it went to Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. So it's an outworking of the river flowing out into the world. It started small, but it gets deeper and deeper, and where it goes, it brings life. There are other ways of looking at it in terms of the ankles, where that river is our walk, where it's our knees, where we kneel in surrender, where it's our loins, where we bring reproduction. There's many different ways, but I'm not going to go into those. You can look at those yourselves. So Ezekiel 47, verse 5, it says, again, he measured 1,000, and the river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough to swim in. A river that could not be forded. Behold, on the bank of the river, there were many trees, one side on the other. Again, same symbolism of anyone who's connected to and lives in that river is seen as someone who is being fruitful, as the trees are. Goes on, then he said to me, the waters go out towards the eastern region, being made to flow into the sea. Now the sea in the word of God equates to the nations. The land always equates to the people of God. And the waters of the sea become fresh. So if this river can flow out of us and the church out into the world, then it will turn salt water, in other words, water that cannot sustain human life, because we can't drink it, to become fresh. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. This water is supposed to bring life to the world. It's supposed to flow through us to bring life to wherever we go. It's supposed to bring life to our families, our homes, our workplaces, our streets, wherever we are, our spheres of government. Life should come as this river gets deeper and deeper in us and flows from us. And it goes on, there will be many fish, for these waters go there, and the waters become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. By the river, on its bank, on one side, on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Again, very similar imagery, talking about the life that comes out of God when it comes through his people. So this describes our lives, the church, releasing this abundant flow of life, turning everything which brings death, and this was a symbol of the Dead Sea, because obviously the Dead Sea produces no life, because there's nothing flowing out of it. It's stagnant. That's why it's full of chemicals, because they just evaporate, get heavier and heavier. That's why you can float in it, you don't sink in it, but the reality is it has no life in it. This river revives and sustains. This is our source of life, and it's the only hope the world has, but only if it flows. The river has to flow in us and through us out of our lives. Otherwise, where's the river going to come from? God has chosen to put his living water in us so that we can be a source to the world. Zechariah 9:10, he will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Again, a description of what it is for the kingdom to expand its increasing government, just as it was in the beginning in the garden, where they were told to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, subdue it, and to have dominion, the rule, the kingdom of God. So this river is a description of the advancing rule of God, the kingdom, into the world. Genesis 2:10. This river flowed out of Eden, the garden in heaven, to water the garden that was Adam and Eve's domain. From there, it divided and became four rivers to water the earth. That was always God's intention. Because they messed it up, he's brought that back through us as individuals so that we can continue that process of seeing the kingdom of God expand through our lives as that river flows. An ever-increasing expansion of the kingdom. You might wonder where this water is, because if it's flowing out of heaven, you know, where does the river go? Now, I wondered this when I went into heaven, because I'd been up the river many, many times and gone up into the garden of God and gone into where the tree of life was and the throne of grace. But actually, where did it go downstream? Now, we know it comes through the gates when we open it into our lives, but actually there's a fuller expression of the river. And actually, it goes into the atmosphere of the earth. And there's a place in the atmosphere of the earth called Nirvana. Not the band, but a place. that the band was named after. And actually, it is a desolate place, but the river of life is dammed up there, waiting for something. It's actually waiting for us as sons of God to reclaim and purify the atmosphere. That whole dimension is a spiritual dimension that the enemy had hold of as prince of the power of the air, and where principalities, rulers, wickedness, forces, all those things are operating because we have not claimed it back. So God wants us to establish that again. And how will that happen? Well, I've seen in visions cities of refuge with walls like fire, like pillars, joining up with each other over our region, over our nation, over the world, form a canopy of purifying fire, which will actually purify the atmosphere of the earth, will give us access to it so that we can bring dominion to the earth, and will eventually release that dam so that the river of life will be poured out onto the earth, when there will be an amazing harvest of salvation where things will totally change. We're going to see that released, that river released. But until it's released in its fullness, we have to be the channel for that river to be established on the earth now, because God has chosen us as his people to do that. Many scriptures describe what this river does, and I love these scriptures. Isaiah 41:18, I will open rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land fountains of water. So wherever there's famine and desolation and where there's no life, this river can come. And that's always God's intention, to bring life into death situations. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Isaiah 48:18. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. If only we would draw from God and not look to draw from the other sources, this is how it's described. Our well-being would be like a river, like waves. Amos 5:24, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Again, the kingdom of God is founded on the basis of righteousness and justice, described as an ever-flowing and ever-increasing stream of living water and life. Isaiah 44:3, I will pour out water on the thirsty land. Now that can be our own lives. Sometimes we get very thirsty and dry. I will pour out water on the thirsty land. That can be our nation. That can be the world. And streams on the dry ground, I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on all your descendants. Always God's intention that we would have a relationship with him through the spirit. See, this river is the empowerment to prosper, to succeed in all things. And these five expressions of the rivers we're going to focus on today, the river of life, baptism, spirit, fire, and glory. The river of life represents our salvation. Now, if we know God personally, then we've had that experience. But it's not a one-off event. It has to be something that we draw on and increases, an ongoing expression of the life of God. And salvation, the word is sozo, which means health and wholeness and provision and blessing, deliverance. That's our ongoing supply. Psalm 36:8, they drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. And I love that as a description of our relationship with God. A river of your delights. What does he want us to delight in? Engaging him, having experience of his love and joy and peace, the abundance, and we can drink our fill. There is no limit to what we can drink, because he is a never-ending source of life. We can engage and experience real life. The fountain, the spring of eternal life, is our connection to the eternal quality of heaven's source, to the tree of life itself. It becomes streams that make us glad with revelational experiences of righteousness, peace, and joy when we let it flow in us and through us. If it doesn't flow through us, it will stagnate in us, because we'll be selfish. God wants us to be giving. Freely we've received, freely we give. River of baptism. Many of us have been baptized, some of you are going to be baptized. This is, represents the end of the old life and the beginning of a new life. Romans 6:4, we have been buried with him, Jesus, through baptism into his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. So we can have resurrection life, life that can restore and bring us wholeness if we embrace it and we're baptized into it. This can be our daily experience as we engage the river of baptism. It's not something you do once and then forget. It's something you engage day after day after day, because it's expressed in this river, because it can bring us an expression that we're dead to the old and alive to the new every single day. In fact, Luke 9:23, Jesus was talking about being his disciples. He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. So engaging this river of baptism, is that what, so that's what we do. Basically, we deny ourselves, doing things our way, take up his cross, which is the symbol of victory and resurrection. As we die to the old, we embrace the new. There can be no resurrection without death. And this is a daily thing. And then we can follow him into our destiny, into that prosperity and blessing that he wants us to have. Denying ourselves, taking up the cross of resurrection victory, and following him. River of the Spirit, baptism into the Spirit. Now, many of us experience that, being baptized into the Spirit, having the Holy Spirit come over us and empower us and in us. This is not a one-off experience. This is a continual infilling of his flow of life every single day. Luke 24:49. Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. You are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So we're clothed with the power, with the Spirit, to empower us to actually fulfill God's purpose. We'll look at more of that in another time. The river of fire. The other ones sound pretty good. Maybe this one sounds not quite so good, maybe more challenging. A river of fire, Daniel 7:10, a river of fire was flowing and coming from before him, from before his throne. A river of fire. What does that equate to? We can embrace the purifying, refining river as we're baptized into this transforming river of fire. So if you need change in your life, if you need things to be purified and refined, maybe in your thinking or your emotions or your actions, this is the place to go. And this river is available for us to go into, because it won't consume us, but it will consume all those things that are clinging to us and holding us back. If we embrace being baptized into the fire of the river of God's presence, because God describes himself as a consuming fire. Now, we don't need to be afraid of that if we know his love. If we know he loves us and we're his children, we don't need to be afraid of that fire. See, Enoch and various others went through the fiery sword that was guarding the realms of heaven, where Adam and Eve hid in the bushes and tried to cover up. They weren't prepared to embrace the fire that would have brought them back into their rightful place. Are we willing to embrace it? River of glory. Glory is the very atmosphere of heaven, the very weight of his presence. Revelation 22:1, a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God. See, we're not limited to expressions and experiences of the river within us, within the spiritual dimensions of our heart and our spirit, or in the room here when the Spirit of God and heaven overlaps. We can actually engage in heaven's source of life itself. We can go back and follow that river to its source and engage in the life that comes from heaven. Genesis 2:10, that river, as we've said, flows out of Eden to water the garden. From there, it's divided and come four rivers to water the world. Eden is God's garden in the realm of heaven. The garden was given to Adam and Eve to tend, cultivate, and expand from. Now this river flows out of heaven through our first love gate into our spirits, but it doesn't have to stop within our spirit. It needs to go beyond, and it becomes rivers flowing in us. That river can flow into the garden of our hearts. Think, oh, what's the garden of my heart? Well, my soul is a dimensional place. And within my soul, my heart, there's a garden. There's a place of encounter, a secret place where I can encounter God within my soul to find restoration for my soul. So this river become rivers of living water that flow then from the garden of our soul out into the world. So this river is our heart. In our heart equates to our soul. Our heart is described as a garden, and that now equates to the garden that was given to Adam and Eve, and they were told to cultivate and tend it. So it's our responsibility to look after our soul and to tend it and cultivate it and to bring life to it. There are four soils that can be in our heart. Get that in the parable of the sower: hard, stony, weedy, and good soil. Now guess what's going to produce good fruit? Good soil. So we're responsible for dealing with the soil that's in our heart. And if our hearts are hard, trampled down because of hurt, pain, and rejection, we need to get them healed and churned up so they produce good soil. If our hearts are stony, they've got memories in them that cause us pain and hurt, we need to get those stones out. If they're full of weeds, worries, anxieties, fears, then we need to get them cleared so that all becomes good soil. So we must tend and cultivate our souls using the river that flows from our spirit, not that which comes from the outside, and that's our problem. We have engaged our souls with the world around us, and it's caused the damage and the hurt and the pain. We need to engage it for the river of the spirit flowing through us to produce life. Now, that's a picture of a heart. Actually, our physical heart has four chambers. And the physical heart actually draws life from the lungs, takes that through the venous system that comes from the lungs, and engages the area of the heart and pumps it out to the body. And then it receives the life back from the body, from the deoxygenated blood, if you like, comes back into the heart, goes back into the lungs, and comes back into the heart and goes out to the body. It's a continual cycle of life that we draw from the oxygen in the air to feed our cells and bring us life. Now, actually, the heart itself has four chambers. So our garden and our heart has four chambers, and we'll look at this in detail in the future. But the garden has the chamber of the heart, so the garden, the dance floor, the soaking room, and the bridal chamber. So we need to draw from our spirit. That needs to engage our mind, our body. Then it goes back through to the spirit again, a continual flow of life from our spirit to our life, heart and back, drawing from the life of God. And we need to engage this. We need to be something that we experience so that life can flow in us. Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8. Again, more scriptures describing this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the waters that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. When difficulties come, will they produce fear? Not if we are planted by and drawing life from the river. But its leaves will be green. It will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. See, there may be all sorts of things going on in the world around us that causes people to fear. Financial crashes, health systems, governmental system, all those sort of things. If they crash, and they will crash, where will our source of supply be coming from? If it's drawing from the life of God, then we will not need to fear. When everyone else does, we will have the solution and the answer to the life, which comes from the life of God. Song of Solomon 4, 15 and 16. You are a garden spring, a well of fresh water, and streams flowing from Lebanon. Very poetical language. Make my garden breathe out fragrance. Let its spices be wafted abroad. This is talking about what should flow from us. May my beloved come into his garden and eat its choice fruits. God wants to encounter us in the garden of our heart, that secret place of intimacy that we have within him on the inside. Isaiah 58:11. You will be like a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Psalm 23:2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Those green pastures are not out in my garden. They're inside in the garden of my heart. He leads me beside quiet waters. This is where the flow is within us. Why does he do that? So he can restore my soul, so he can guide me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he can lead me on that everlasting path, which is my destiny, because I have a relationship with him within the garden of my heart, which I tend and cultivate. So the river and the soul or heart, four chambers equating to those four rivers. The heart and the spirit, our spiritual life circulation system, like oxygen from the lungs to the heart, to the body, back to the lungs. Our spirit, our heart, our body, operating together in unity and harmony. So the river can actually flows from Eden, and we can follow that back to its source in heaven. And we do that, you know, I do that all the time. Because the door's open, when we open it, it's two-way access. It has access into us, and we have access into the realm of the kingdom, back into the heaven. So there we can encounter the river of life in heaven. We can encounter the waterfalls where deep calls to deep in heaven, where there are pools of deeper and deeper revelation in heaven, where there is the tree of life and the throne of grace in heaven. But of course, we don't have to die before we get to heaven. That covenant of death that religious spirits have set up within the church limits us and our ability to, well, when we die, we'll go to heaven. No, the door is open now. So there are scrolls of revelation and jewels and gems within that river, and we engage it in heaven. All there to supply us with the revelation and the life we need to live out the purposes of God for our lives. So today we're going to access those five rivers. Those five rivers that I talked about are accessible in the garden of your heart, within your spirit, in this room, as we engage worship today, and in heaven itself, as heaven overlaps with earth today, we can engage the reality of God's presence in those rivers. So think about which river would I like to encounter today? Maybe you've never experienced the life of God before. You need to engage the river of life. Drink that water and experience him for the first time. Maybe you want to engage in resurrection, new life. You want to change in your life. You want to let go of the old and engage in that river of baptism. Maybe you just want the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be filling you, flowing through, equipping you, giving you gifts and abilities, power to release healing or deliverance in people's lives. Maybe you just want transformation. Maybe you're fed up with how you're thinking, how you're feeling, what your life is like. And you need the life of God, the fire of God, to purify and refine your thinking or your emotions. Engage the river of fire. Maybe you just want to engage with the glory of God, the presence of God, the life of God. You can engage in that river of glory, engage around the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh of his presence. So wherever you are today, you can engage that in our worship. If you're listening to this, wherever you are today around the world, this is available for you. There are four angels that God has released in this period of transition and transformation that are available to us. They have been released so that we can engage the presence of God to change and transform us, and they're here. So those angels are here today to release those four rivers. You can engage with the four rivers as you worship here today. And we have over on my right here, normally we have the there is no juice. Got the present juice there. Yeah. Actually, no. We have the sand and living waters is over there. The fighting fire is over there. Transformation is over there. Winds of change is over there. There we go. So engage it. So the river of life is basically flowing from that winds of change angel. He wants to bring you in a new season. Refining fire is flowing from the refiner's fire. River of resurrection is flowing from transformation. If you need baptism, the river of the spirit is flowing from the angel of the sound of many waters. There is a flow that's here today. Wherever you are, you can engage those angels and experience that. If you need the river of glory, this is where you can engage the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh of the very presence of God around the Ark of the Heavenly Tabernacle. That will be overlapping here. It's overlapping our lives. We can step into that place where we can experience his very name and step into him and experience his glory. Engage the very promises of God for your identity and your destiny. Engage the reality of his rainbow covenant promises, which is why we have the rainbow flag. It's an expression of his covenant and promises, the fullness of who he is in the seven spirits of God, where we can engage him. But let's engage by faith. This is how we always engage. You may think, well, I can't see, I can't experience much. God always rewards those who come to him by faith. So by faith, engage, which just means I choose to believe and act on that belief, and I engage the experience, whatever that river might be today. So we're going to encourage you to now begin to think about Jesus as the source of living water. Think about heaven being open and the rivers cascading down as waterfalls here today. Again, you can think of it flowing out of God himself. Think of the windows of heaven being open and rivers pouring out over us. Now think of it just cascading down that you can experience and engage. Or actually think of it just coming into the garden of your own heart as a flow of life. Again, it all starts with opening up that first gate. It's our choice. So just close our eyes. Let's begin to fix our thoughts on engaging God in the river. Just start thinking about who you might want to meet, whether you want to meet the Father or the Holy Spirit or Jesus in that river. Now, we're going to go on a journey today. I want to encourage you, if you want to stay in one place that you're experiencing something that you do not want to leave, please feel free just to do that. Or you may want to follow along on this journey, or actually you may even want to race ahead because you've been to places before. You know, wherever that journey takes you, just engage and allow God to lead you and direct you. So activate your imagination. Just begin to think now of the door. It's a doorway to your encounter with God today. Jesus is knocking on that door, and he's just asking you to let him in. Just picture that door, hear him knocking within your mind, within your imagination, and just choose by faith to reach out and to open that door, to open the door of first love, to welcome his presence, to come around you, just feel it within your innermost being. Just allow his love and his joy and his peace to just surround you and fill you. River is just flowing now from that gateway. Just picture the fountain, the living water, just drink it. See it, maybe ankle deep. And just jump in, splash around. You can lie in that river as it gets deeper and deeper into you. And as you get in that river, as it encompasses you, as you're baptized into it, just be baptized into the river of life. Just feel the light and the energy and the frequency vibrating within that river, energizing you. Just feel the very cells of your whole body being restored, renewed, made whole. Just let that river just flow around you. Just let the life of God flow all around you. Just go deeper and deeper into that experience. I'm just going to invite that river, the very presence of God, to flow into the garden of our hearts. The quiet waters beside green pastures. Now, I just want to encourage you to allow whoever you're engaging with, whether it be the Holy Spirit or Jesus or the Father, just to take you by the hand and walk with you into the garden of your own heart. I'm not sure how well tended your garden is to what you'll experience, but just let him walk there. And just lie down with him in that green pasture beside that quiet waters. Just relax. With the Lord as your shepherd, you shall not want. Just let the refreshing, the restoration of your soul take place. You may want to talk to him, share with him, just sense his presence there as you're lying down in green pastures beside quiet waters. This is the garden of your heart. You get to tend and cultivate it. Just feel free to explore that garden, to begin to creatively think how you would want your garden to look. What trees, what flowers, what plants, what bushes that you would plant in the garden of your heart. Just walk with him and explore. Just feel the joy of walking with him. Just let those creative thoughts dance in your mind. What are your favorite flowers? What are your favorite trees? How would your garden look? You have the creative ability to plant in your garden, to create that secret, special place for intimacy with him. Just let your imagination free to create that place that may remind you of a special place that you've been before. You may want to create a new place. Just release it. One thing you can do in your garden, you can plant seeds. Those seeds are testimonies of your experiences with God. And you can plant them. Just think about a hole and putting a seed in a hole and taking water from the river of life, and watering the seed, and then speaking life to it. And as you do that with maybe a special testimony you have, maybe it's your salvation experience or an encounter you've had with him. Just plant it and see it grow to produce a fruit-bearing tree or bush from which you can re-engage by taking that fruit and experience the testimony again and again. And you can give that fruit to others to help them experience the very life of God. So if you have something you want to plant, just plant it and just see it grow. maybe a scripture that's meaningful to you, you want to draw life from, or words that God has spoken to you, or a prophecy that's been given over your life. Just let it ring through to you. Just stay there doing that. If you want to continue with the journey, I want you to think of the river that's flowing in your garden. Just step into that river and just begin walking or swimming in that river. So we get back to the gateway where that river will bring us up into the very realm of heaven, into the Garden of Eden. Just follow that flow. Just by faith, step through the dimension into the source of the river. Crystal clear. You can swim and breathe under that river. Just look on the bottom, look into the river, see what's there, see the life. You may find scrolls or gems. If you do, swim down, take one, place it within your heart, within your spirit. Feel the life and the energy and the purity of that river. Flowing from and down over the mountain of God are waterfalls, flowing down and down and down, bringing life. If you want to just look and see that waterfall, just picture that waterfall flowing down into Eden, where you can just picture standing under that waterfall, deep, calling out to deep, the sound of that waterfall, all the frequencies of the revelation of who God is, cascading down over you. Flowing out of his heart over your life, calling you deeper and deeper into him. Deeper revelation of your identity as a son of God. Releasing revelation of your calling, the path that God has prepared for you, the destiny that's agreed with your spirit, your life. Deep, calling you deeper and deeper. Just sense which waterfall you would want to engage with. River of life, river of baptism, the river of the spirit, the river of fire, the river of glory. Just let the spirit draw from that the life of God. Just allow this to be your daily experience. that you can allow the river to flow in your spirit, to flow in your heart. You can flow back into heaven. You can draw ever deepening reality from those rivers, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, until it's so deep that you're totally suspended and flowing in. Just go deeper and deeper. Don't be satisfied with a trickle when you can have a flood. And as we engage God in worship today, just allow your spirit to lead you to engage with one of the angels, or to engage with the Yod He Vav He of the very ark of his presence. Maybe you want to engage with a river of fire flowing from transforming, refining fire. Maybe you want to engage with a river of baptism coming from transformation. Maybe the river of life that's coming from winds of change. All of that which is flowing out of the sand of many waters, the river of the Spirit. Just open your hearts and open your spirit to engage today. As we just come out of this time of encounter, don't lose what you've experienced, just bring it back as a testimony, and then continue to pursue it as we go into that time of worship. Amen.